This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends. And yes, we are embarking on a new week this week, and it's coming to the end of March. Can we believe it? It is just, time is just flying. And, you know, we are living in such unprecedented times. But this is the opportunity where we get to really embrace the Lord, and we need to know how to prepare ourselves for the times that we are living in right now. And I have the privilege this afternoon of having Pastor Lusipho Kile, who I've known for many years. I always just call him Pastor Kile. I've known him for many years, and I've had the privilege to know him in ministry. And he's been around for over 20 years in ministry, and he's now leading a beautiful congregation in Khayelitsha called the Mercy Tabernacle Ministries. And he's going to share with us, you know, how he's been ministering. Over his focus over the last couple of years is about preparing the bride. And I think this is where we are having to get back into the starting blocks and knowing that we need to prepare ourselves for this new season that we are in going into, and we need to find a new hunger for the Lord. So Pastor Kile, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Renette.
And it's such a privilege to see you again.
Thank you.
I'm so excited for this this message that you're going to give us, and I think it's going to be so profound for us now, and really to ignite the hunger and the fire in us that this is the time and the season that we need to disciple people, get people on board, get people saved and rescued, so that they can go through these difficult times knowing who Jesus is in themselves. So I'm just so excited to hear what you've got to share with us. But we're going to have to take a break first of all, and we're going to listen to something beautiful, a nice music break now, and then we will catch up with Pastor Kile straight after this. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. And yes, family and friends, yes, this is an opportunity for us to really settle down and listen to the real word of the Lord in this time that we are living in. And I have the privilege of having Pastor Lusipho Kile in our studios this afternoon. We are so privileged to have him here. I've known him many years, and apparently I didn't know that, but he was an old contributor to in 2016 to a Radio K Pulpit. So it's just like such a privilege to have him back. And I just want to share with you, you know, we've got a WhatsApp line. It's 081-729-1657. We've got a Telegram number with the same number, 081-729-1657. And SMS line 37988. And I just want to encourage you, come connect with us, chat with us, give us feedback, good, positive, and let us get to know you a little bit better. And we've got also a Facebook live that you can look at our wonderful, beautiful presenters and our beautiful guests that we have as well. So go in and join us on WhatsApp, on Facebook, on 729 Cape Pulpit. And we have a counseling department, which is 021-9177-000, option 1. Pastor Kile, you know, we are in the season of really needing to get ourselves grounded in the Word. What has your focus been in your ministry in this time? And just give us, give us a teaching on how do we prepare ourselves in this time.
Thank you so much, Renette. Greetings to the listeners in Jesus' mighty name. Well, first of all, Renette, I think what is really important is to know who God is, to know what is it that God is looking for, and to understand his ways. You know, there are ways of God, and there are acts of God. The Bible tells us that God shows his ways to Moses, but he shows his acts to the children of Israel. Now, the problem that, or rather the challenge we have as the church now, number one, we don't understand what time it is. in the calendar of God. Number two, we are pursuing the acts of God more than the ways of God. Now, there are many things. You know, number three, we can say that, you know, people are mixing spirituality with religion. And many of us, as the children of God, we are more into self more than what God is looking for. You know, if I may speak about where I'm coming from, I think not really where I'm coming from, but the church globally.
Yes.
You watch the TV, you know, you find out many of us as ministers of the gospel, we want to please our congregation more than pleasing God, because we are looking for numbers. We are looking for numbers, and for you to get numbers, you have to give a message that will tickle them.
That's it.
You know, a message to tickle them, a message that they will clap hands and say, "You are the man." You know, and when you look at the Word of God, you find out, you know, there was a time when Jesus Christ was being followed by many, and the Bible says, "Hit hand and say, if you want to follow me, hate your brother, hate your sister." Now, Jesus was not a man of crowds, but he was a man of a cloud.
Yes.
There is a difference, because, you know, when you speak about ministry today, you speak about how many followers do you have. It has become kind of an advertisement that the more followers you have, the more people will acknowledge you.
Yes, and more successful.
Exactly, you know, and we don't rate the success of a ministry by how many people that are there, because you may have a lot of people that are not heaven bound, but they're hell bound. You know, the truth is, at the end of the day, we have something we are looking at that is the last day. Mm-hmm. Everything in the Bible has an amen. There's a full stop.
Yes.
There is a full stop. Whatever that we are doing now, the Bible says that we will give account of it on that day. I once ministered, I preached a message that says one day. Mm-hmm. Everything that we do has a one day.
Sure.
You know, many people go to work for only one day. That is a payday. You go to work for 30 days, only for 31st, because they're getting paid on that. So in everything that we do, there is a day that we are going to give account.
Sure.
And that day is approaching. We see the fulfillment of scriptures when you look at the church globally, whereby many prophets have risen. We've got many prophets, we've got many bishops, we've got many apostles, we've got many, all these titles, you know, but we have less children of God.
Sure.
Or rather, sons of God. You know, people go to church. Where I'm coming from, in the location, it's all about performing. You know, it's all about showcase. This is what I can do, and people are getting healed, people are getting this, people are getting blessed. You know, the message that you normally hear now is, God bless you, the Lord is going to make you a millionaire, the Lord is going to make you a kingdom financier, the Lord is going to show doors for you, God is going to open doors. That's what we are hearing today, you know, and people, they want to hear that, and the enemy knows about it. Now, the enemy, what he does, he has entered into a lot of ministers so that they can preach that gospel. If you remember, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, you know, the devil, the Bible said the devil took him to the highest mountain and showed him the glory of the world. And then he said, if you can bow down to me, I will give you this glory. And Jesus rejected it. And today, you know, you come to ministries, it's all about splendor, it's all about glory, it's all about the things of this world. We are more concerned about what type of car you're going to drive, the big house, my job, but we are not concerned about souls.
Mm.
Because God's heartbeat is that everybody might be saved.
And he wants our heart.
Exactly.
Sure.
Because everything that we own, we're going to leave it here. Mm. All these things are useless. We're going to leave them here. But what about your soul? So my ministry, when God gave me the ministry to run, you know, he gave me the vision or the mission of the ministry is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. It says, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without a blemish. That is deep. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. And as we understand that when you are a bride or you're about to become a bride, you prepare yourself. You make sure that your dress, there's nothing wrong. Everything is spot and clean. Now, this is the bride that Christ is coming to. And the question is, how many of us are ready for the coming of the Lord? Many of us, we are keeping people in our hearts. Many of us, we don't give. We don't forgive. Many of us, we are looking for the things of this world. Our minds and our desires are about the things of the world.
And flesh.
You know, we want to satisfy, gratify the desires of our flesh more than of the spirit. You know, if somebody gets money, I want to buy myself a car. I want to change my wardrobe. I want to make sure my house is splendid. But nobody thinks that, Lord, let me sponsor somebody who's going to preach the gospel. You know, we don't have people that are hungry for God. People are hungry for what God can give, not for God.
Mm.
That is the problem we have.
They're not hungry for the relationship.
No. You know, and you know, above everything, God is looking for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
God wants to have a relationship with man.
Yeah.
And that is what he's not getting. Because, you know, many of us, when we are blessed, we even forget about God.
So easily. Okay? And many times we think life is going so good, we don't need him any longer. Until we bite the dust again.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, Pastor Kelly, you know, your ministry is based on mercy.
Yeah.
And so just give us that, you know, the reason why you chose that word. What does that mean? I love what you shared, so I don't want to say it. You tell me.
Well, you know, I really never chose the word. The Lord gave it to me.
Mm.
You know, we are living in an era or in a season whereby everybody speak about grace.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know that the grace of God can also be frustrated?
Mm-hmm.
But his mercy endures forever.
Sure.
The mercy of God is old as God.
Mm.
Mercy is how do I put it? You know, in a layman's language, I will say mercy is given to somebody who's guilty. You are guilty and the evidence is against you, but the king will rise and say, I found you not guilty. That is mercy. In Psalm 51, David cried, Lord, show me mercy.
Mm.
Everybody, we need mercy. We need mercy. We need mercy. So,
by the hour, by the day.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
The mercy of God. The mercy of God, because you know, we find ourselves in many situations. You know, we are human beings. At the end of the day, we do things that are against God's will, and we need mercy. You know, what is lacking nowadays is that repentant heart, that heart that says, "Lord, you know." When Nathan said to David, "You are the man," David said, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nowadays, you don't find that.
And we don't come repentant, and we don't come into confession.
No, we don't.
So we just go on and on and on and on because we concentrate on the grace part too much. And then we just think we just can carry on doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
And you know, and that is such a challenge for us because we don't actually understand the word practically, you know, and we don't apply it practically to our lives. So how do we merge our spiritual and our behavior? Merge that the word is most alive. So how do we merge and put that together in act, in behavior, like you were saying, mm-hmm. that we act certain ways, we go after the desires of the flesh. How do we change that to the way we want to go and say, listen, Lord, it's you first, and you are the only one?
I will answer by saying, Renette, that first of all, we need to understand the concept of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The concept of salvation is what we don't understand. Hence, nowadays, we have so many, how do I call it? We've got so many services, we've got so many conferences about that. It's because we don't understand what is salvation. The Bible says, when Christ died, mm-hmm. we died with him.
Mm.
When he resurrected,
we rose with him.
Exactly. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:14, yeah, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. That's where we start. If we are in Christ, Pastor Kile is dead. I don't feel. There's nothing to feel about because I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
But if I haven't died, then I will feel. What is to give your life? Mm-hmm. Remember, you've got only one life. To give your life is to, Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me.
Mm.
Now, to give your life is to say, my desire, my thinking, my sleeping, my eating, my everything, I give to the Lord.
Mm.
Rule and reign in my life.
Yes.
Now, the problem we have is that many of us, because of maybe because of democracy, I don't understand. But because of the what is happening in the world, whereby you say 50-50, in a relationship there's 50-50. I always say, if myself and my wife would say we're going to go 50-50, what happened to other 50? Who do I give it to? You have to give it all. Because if you don't give it all to the Lord, meaning the remainder you'll give it to the devil.
Sure. Where else does it go?
Exactly. So when we speak about merging, we can only speak about merging only when we have not given all.
Okay, I hear you.
But when you've given all, there's nothing of you. David says, my times are in your hand. One time he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Because everything about me breathes God. Paul says, in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. Now, obviously, David says in Psalm 1:1 and verse 7, that I have kept my word, your words, in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Mm. We are directed by the word of God.
Mm.
We are not directed by what the president say. I am not directed by what my situation is saying. I'm above that. I am an ambassador. I am not of this world, but I am an ambassador. The things I live by are not of this world, are from heaven. So whatever I do, I am directed by the Spirit that lives in me. If the Spirit that raised Christ lives in me, the Bible says he will revitalize my mortal body. So I don't have to think. I don't have to try make means to please God. No. Because I'm a new creature, automatically the Spirit in me pleases him.
Mm.
So now, what I'm saying here, in answering your question, Renette, you know, when we try to do the things of God, it means God is not in us.
Mm.
Because why should I try if he lives in me? It means there's still a bit of me. You know, it means I've not been emptied from vessel to vessel. There's still a taste of Egypt in me. There is still a taste of me that I don't want to let go. I'm still keeping me in me.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit has not taken over. When the Spirit takes over, I forget about myself. It's about him. Every day, every hour, I think. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night. Meaning, when I don't meditate upon it, I will be sick. Because meditation is medicinal. So meaning, whenever I don't meditate about the word, I'm meditating about the world and the world will show me the things of the world. And that is it. So when you have given everything to God, when this book of the law is in you, you think about it, you meditate, the Holy Spirit will take over. That's how I will answer your question.
I think it is incredible because but it's the most safest place to be is to give everything to
Him.
You know, that is where you know that you're not in charge.
Yeah, you're not.
And I love that. I absolutely love that. But we're going to take a break now and we're going to listen to have a music break now. And I hope you enjoy this. And then we're going to join Pastor Kelly straight after this. I think this is such a profound message, just igniting that hunger for us and understanding the times that we are living in right now. But we're going to join Pastor Kelly straight after this music break. Good afternoon, and thank you so much for staying with us this afternoon. And I just want to encourage you. We are having such a wonderful session about preparing the bride with Pastor Kelly here this afternoon. And I just want to recap, you know, him and I've known each other for quite a while in ministry, and it's such a privilege to have him. Actually, no, I haven't seen him for a while, but it's wonderful to see him. And he's got so much wisdom and knowledge of the word. And I'm so happy that he's being able to share that with us this afternoon. It's such a privilege. So, Pastor Kelly,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
We know that you are ministering in Khayelitsha.
Yes.
And I love the fact that you said, you know, you're not after the numbers, but you're after the souls. We need to really embark on ministering and getting people saved so they can go to heaven.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, that is the only assignment that we have in these last days on this earth. So I really do believe, and I've known you for many years, that I know that you're a really man after the heart of the Father.
Yeah.
And so we wanting to know, what are the challenges in Khayelitsha? You know, you know, are you able to have that hunger? Are the people coming with this heart that is needing to be guarded in these times and not swayed by the world's ways? So just give us, you know, your synopsis and the challenges that you people experience as ministries out there.
Very interesting question.
It's quite loaded.
I'm telling you, you know, the Bible says, David says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for thee. Well, when you speak about not only Khayelitsha, you know, when you speak about maybe, I will say the other part, you know, the other part, it's number one, unemployment rate is too high.
Yes.
Poverty is the principal. You speak about crime. Crime has risen.
But due to the poverty.
Yeah, obviously. And now people are trying means to feed themselves. Now you find out that people are not really after God, but they're looking for a quick way. Hence, you also find that there are a lot of microwave believers because sometimes to minister to somebody that is sick, to minister to somebody who is hungry, he is not really after to hear that God loves you, but all he needs, tell him that he will get a job. Yes. Tell him that the Lord is going to bless him. Now, that is the trap of the enemy. What the enemy did amongst us as ministers is that we have looked at how bad the situation is. And we wanted to be heroes. We wanted to take the place of God. And, you know, I believe that there is a foundation to anything that we do. We have not taken time to read the spiritual weather, maybe let's say of Khayelitsha, and why things are happening the way they're happening. But what we want to do is to please the people. Now, in us ministering, we are running away from the ways of the Lord. We want to show the people the quickest way. Obviously, when I say to somebody that is hungry, God said to me, He's going to bless you. That person will be happy because somebody is sympathizing with her or him. But we don't speak the word of God to people.
Feeding their souls.
We are not feeding their souls.
Mm.
We are not feeding their souls. So that is the challenge. You know, if you go to the location, you will find that many ministries are big. People are going there.
Yes.
Because a man of God will come and say, I'm going to prophesy. And whatever that he will prophesy will be to the benefit of the flesh,
sure.
not of the soul.
You know, said it.
And now you find out that the hunger for God is not there, but there is a hunger of what God can do. To a point, if you minister and you don't prophesy, they will have a problem with you. If you minister and, you know, the word of God is for rebuke, for correction. If now you correct and show them the ways of God, they will start to say, no, this one is not anointed. Let's leave. Let's go to the other one who's going to tickle us.
Yes.
Somebody who's going to pamper what wrong we are doing, you know. And some of us, we accommodate a lot of garbage in ministries. You know, you find out that your keeper player, he went to a club yesterday. He was drinking. And then he'll come on a Sunday morning.
Happens all over.
Drunk. And then because he's skillful and we want to accommodate that, no, that is wrong. We are not representing God, but we want to make people happy because you say, oh, that guy, he's very skillful. No, let us accommodate him. No, we cannot do that. So that is the challenges we have that side, you know, that if you preach the true gospel, you'll be neglected. They will say, listen, you'll be hungry. People won't give. So even us as ministers, we want people to give, so we have to preach what they want to hear because we are begging for bread.
Sure.
That is a challenge. Yeah.
That's very challenging. And, you know, for me, what I'm listening to now is, what I'm hearing is the fact that, you know, again, it's just feeding the flesh and keeping that momentum going just to have the church full. And it's actually not serving and serving the salvation process.
Exactly.
And not keeping there and discipling. Because I can hear there's no discipling. It's just quick fixes.
Quick fixes.
Yes. And I think that is generally in the church. We're just happy clappy and we go along. I've been listening to so many pastors on that path, talking about, you know, on the weekend we're full of God, and then, like you said, in the week you just follow your own thing, and the whole grace factor works. And yet, it's not that the Lord is now, but He's chastising us in this time. He's separating the wheat from the chaff, and you know, the sheep and the goats. And we need to understand that this is the time that we have to be holy, reverent of the Lord, fear of the Lord. We don't have the fear anymore.
No.
We don't have no fear. And so what? So are you having many youth? It's youth coming in. Are they?
Yeah,
are
obviously.
They?
There's a lot of youth. And you know what? We have started something now. I'm doing classes.
Yeah, tell us about what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm doing classes. Myself and my wife are doing classes whereby we are teaching our youth what is salvation, the basics. What is salvation? You know, you'll be surprised, Renette, that you take somebody who's been saved for years. Ask her or him, what is salvation? You'll be surprised. People don't understand the concept of salvation.
Maybe you can share that with us. Yeah, I'm being serious.
Yeah,
that
will be the whole day.
It's the whole day.
But I love it, you know. And that's what we are doing now. We are teaching them about salvation. We are teaching them that it's God first. We are teaching them that, listen, without God, we are nothing. Your beauty will fade one day. All the things you're looking at, they will end one day. But remember, You know, I was reading a place in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9. It said, "Rejoice, O young man, in the days of do whatever your heart tells you to do, but remember, you will be judged." I always
and we don't preach that part.
No, we don't.
We just and even us reading the word, we just like just goes. We go past that. It's not that important. It's the first part that is really what we hold on to.
Exactly. Mm. You know, I preached one time on a message, or rather, I made an example. I said the world we live in. Listen to this. This world is like pick and pay. You know, when you enter into a shop, any shop rather, you go to the shop, pick whatever you want to pick, take a trolley, you can put everything you want in a trolley, nobody's gonna say what no, but remember there's a till, you have to pay.
That's a good one.
So this world is like that. It's a market. It's a shop. Take whatever you want to take. Do it. And guess what? The assistants will even assist you. They will take everything, 12.5. They will take maize meal. They will take rice. They will take meat. Take everything you want to take. But remember one thing. You are going to the till. That is how the world is. You know, do whatever you want to do. But remember, there is a day whereby you have to pay the price.
Sure. That was a good one.
So this is what we are teaching them, that listen, we are not saying don't date. We are not saying don't go to clubs. But just remember, you're going to
answer the fruits of that.
Exactly. You are sowing a seed now, and you will reap it.
And it will go from generation to the next generation. And that is so profound, because I heard a message once, and where this guy said, you know, where they said, you know, what David did, what Solomon did, no, sorry, what David did in moderation, Solomon did in excess.
Yeah.
So that is so important for us to understand. When we think we're doing just this, the next generation does it in excess. Because, and that is what we have to be so careful of, how we conduct our lives. It's about the conducting our lives, and even baby Christians. You know, like how do we behave in front of our children?
Very important.
And we think that they don't absorb.
No, they do.
They do everything. They like little sponges. Whatever's learned, they learn. And to unlearn that in 10 years' time is a big problem.
I'm telling
the
you.
The same thing with the church. When exactly. people come in, they need to be immediately confronted with the truth. And because whatever they learn now, and false doctrines and you know, copy and paste stuff and things
Google.
That aren't, and Google, and things that aren't in full... we take things out of context
a lot to satisfy our egos.
That's right, and we just concentrate on one, like you mentioned now, the one part of the verse, and we don't talk about the judgment of
exactly.
that, you know, of that action. So I think that is where we really get where we're getting, like you said, just an undiluted, compromised word. So we need to understand that this is the time that we need to get back to the basics.
Yeah,
like you said, about if you're teaching your young people just the basics of salvation, that it's clear, practical, and doable, you know, that they will have that to refer to for the rest of their lives. It's something that they know for the rest of their lives. That is wonderful, because, you know, I don't think we take the time to it's always fun on a youth night, and it's playing games and all that type of thing, but where's the word?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where is the substance?
Exactly.
Where is the substance?
There's no
substance.
You know, Renette, this thing started homes. We have failed from our homes.
That's right.
Because Facebook, WhatsApp, Twitter, all this thing, TikTok, they've taken the place of the Word of God.
And the Word, and the parenting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you find out that now the parents, it is Google, it is Facebook that is teaching your children. There's no time. People are tired. People are busy. Now, Facebook, the enemy is teaching them through our phones.
Exactly.
There's no time to sit down with your family. Guys, every phone must be switched off. It's time for the word.
Mm.
It's time for the word. It's time for prayer. That your child will say, no, daddy, I'm tired. I'm watching a game. Let's pray. And daddy will say, no, you don't do that. There's a rule. Listen, at this time, you close everything. It's time for God. Mm-hmm. Until we install those things back in our families, the world will be okay.
Amen.
You know, I love to speak about family. By the way, by the grace of God, I'm now a marriage counselor.
Okay, wow, yeah, that is wonderful. I'm so happy to hear that.
I passed my exam, so
okay,
I joined people. So I always speak about that foundation is very important.
Important.
Foundation is very important, you know.
And understanding the roles of mother and father.
Exactly. I had a conference in church whereby I was speaking about foundations. Oh, Lord, it's very deep. Foundations. I started from Abraham. The foundation of Abraham, whatever Abraham did, Isaac did. Every lie.
There we are.
Isaac did. From Isaac, it went to Jacob. Jacob multiplied it.
Again, generational.
You know, so I was thinking about that. But I think, Renette, in conclusion, when I speak about preparing a bride, Can I quote the word? I will go to Psalm 127. It's a very known chapter and a known verse. The Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain.
Sure.
Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guides stand watch in vain. Now, my interest is in the word unless. Now, meaning you can do whatever you can do. You can build the house. But if your house is not built by God,
sure,
you are building that house in vain.
Oh, that is sad.
You can start a ministry. Pastor Kille, you can start a ministry. Everybody does. But if the Lord does not build it, you are building it in vain. You can do fasting. You can pray. Unless the Lord leads you, that you're doing in vain. You can do any project you want to do, but if God is not by your side, you are doing it in vain. David never went to any war without consultation.
Yes, yes.
He consulted, Lord, may I?
Jesus.
Exactly. Now, when you say unless, this is where I'm going. You know, listeners, we pray, we ask God things, but there is something that I just want to reveal before I knock off. In Psalm 127, unless the Lord build the house. Now, what I want to say, you know, everything in life has a software.
Sure.
You see this computer, it has a software. You may have 1,000 computers, but the difference will be a software. There is a software God is looking for. You remain a child of God. You remain a child of God. But sometimes, you know, when we pray, we are downloading some things from above. And those things can never come unless you've got the software that God is looking for, irrespective of your title. You may love the Lord, but you don't have a software. Even today, our phones, they will say you need to update our WhatsApp. If you don't update your WhatsApp, it will crash. It will close. But you'll remain having the best phone ever. But the software has expired.
Sure.
So whenever you pray, you must remember that when you pray, you are not making God a favor. You are not doing God a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. You can pray if you want. You may not pray. God will remain God. He changes not. He's God by himself. Now, when you pray, or when whatever you do for God, remember, for you to download what God has for you, you must have the kind of software that God is looking for.
And yes.
You must have that kind of a software. Whether you're a bishop, whether you're a prophet, you might. It's a prophet is just a name. Bishop is just a name. But what about the software? God is looking for a software. There is a software for healing. There is a software for blessing. There is a software for prophesying. You know, Daniel cried to God for a software to interpret dreams. He needed to disposition himself from himself and be where God wants him to be so that he can obtain that software that will be able to interpret dreams. If the church, we want to win souls, we need software from above.
Amen.
The Lord has to give us the kind of software that Billy Graham had. The kind of software that the late Reinhard Bonnke had. We need such softwares, but you don't find them anymore. All you need, all we have today, Lord bless me with the job, Lord bless me with the car, Lord bless me with many people. No, it's not about that. It's about the software.
Sure.
You know, God is not about to pour his resources in a dysfunctional system. Not God.
He's not going to do it.
He's not going to do it.
He's not going to shame himself.
No. Mm. Remain to call yourself. Listen, I'm having a phone here. This phone will not going to change that it is a phone. But what about the software? If I want to download something, it will tell me it's not supported by the software you have, meaning sure. I have to upgrade. Now, there are things we ask from God. When God is about to download, he'll find that there's a software in you. Mm-mm. Does not accept what I'm bringing. And, you know, and because we don't know
these things. It's a malfunction.
Exactly. Because we don't stay. The Bible said, he that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High.
Sure.
We don't dwell in the secret place of the Most High anymore. We want ready-made cooking. And we need to stay in the Word. You need the software. You need the software. As we prepare for the coming of the bride.
That's how he upgrades us.
Exactly.
Well, with his Word.
We need the software. From above. Mm. When the software is available, there'll be revival.
Amen. Yeah, that was a powerful word.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Kili. I have just been like in awe of what you were sharing now. This was so profound and so necessary and so relevant.
Yeah.
And I think we have to get back into those lanes.
Yeah.
And it says so. The path is narrow.
Exactly.
And we have to get back onto that narrow path. We've opened our. We've given so many legal permission and legal rights to things, knowingly and unknowingly, and portals opened up portals, and we are corrupted and corroded. Our software is corroded.
Exactly.
Thank you, Lord. Please bring us back to where we can be refurbished for you.
Yeah. Our borders are open.
Yes.
Everybody's just coming illegally.
Illegally. So thank you so much for your profound word.
Yeah,
I trust that the Lord is going to use you mightily.
Amen.
In marriages. Restoring,
Amen.
Keeping
Amen.
People married.
Amen.
They're getting back to the basic, defining the roles of mother and father. I will have you sometime again, especially in that area. We really need to hear, teachings on that as well. Where we need to understand that this is the time that mother and father needs to stand together. Even if you are separated, there are things that you need to stand together as parents and that our children don't get lost in the process. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon. Family and friends, I really am encouraging you. Go get back to the basics of the word and understand that the Lord has a special plan for each and every one of us.
Amen.
So, Pastor Kili, thank you so much, and I hope to see you soon. Family and friends out there, be safe, stick to the rules, love each other, care for each other, and pray for our beautiful land, pray for our country, and know that we are really trusting the Lord for revival in this country.
Yeah.
But it starts with us, first and foremost. Amen. And we will see you next week. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.